My next guest on the program is Nick Barashev. He's president and founder of the Bullion Management Group. Nick, there's a lot of controversy on the web today regarding the safety of bullion storage, and in particular, with the CFTC hearings, there was some question about Scotiabank that they may not have the bullion there that supposedly everybody thinks is there. And since you run a bullion fund, you have two funds, and you store hundreds of millions of dollars of bullion, you use Scotiabank. So I wonder if you could sort of explain what you guys do, where you keep it, and should investors be worried today?
I guess the controversy wasn't so much the CFTC hearings, but it was an interview with a fellow from Canada that said he was in the vault in Scotia's vault and there was no bullion. So I find that, you know, totally incredible, because I've been in the vaults more than a dozen times, because we have about 330 million in bullion in the vault. And at the least, annually, we go in with our auditors, and the auditors have to meet regulatory requirements. They have to do audits for the funds and cross-check our records of what we have as bullion holdings and what is held in the vault. So they check all the serial numbers and all the bars and so on. And so I don't know what vault he was referring to. Normally, Scotia, like all the members of the LBMA, offer a variety of bullion-related products. There's certificates, there's unallocated accounts, and there's allocated accounts. Now, the allocated and unallocated accounts are generally for the industry and funds and institutions and large buyers of that nature, and the certificates are more of a retail product. And that's where I think there's a lot of confusion. The certificates and other banks, particularly in Switzerland, have bullion accounts. And those are just basically obligations of the bank denominated in the precious metal involved. And the banks can hold in reserves however much their risk management calculations and so on would feel appropriate. But they are subject to maintaining adequate total reserves, you know, against their liabilities, given that they're a bank, all that's regulated and inspected and so on. But they're not required to keep specific reserves against specific risks. And one of the things is, a lot of people tend to be attracted by certificates and unallocated accounts, and largely because there are no commissions and premiums when you're buying the bullion, and there are no storage fees applicable to those. And so it's the investors that use them. When you get into the larger, the LBMA members that use the unallocated accounts, these are the traders, the hedge funds and currency traders around the world, and they need to use unallocated accounts because you can't be moving bars of precious metals back and forth in the vault as you're trading. Now, we happen to have both accounts, an unallocated account and then allocated bullion, and the reason we have unallocated account for each metal, because it facilitates the daily purchase and redemptions, and we tend to keep less than 1% of our holdings in the unallocated account. But it's because we're not a trading fund. We just hold the bullion. If we were a trading hedge fund or something of that order, then probably the bulk would be in an unallocated account to facilitate daily trading.
Nick, let me ask you this. If I was a bullion vault like Scotiabank and I really didn't have the bullion there, as this gentleman was claiming, why would I be stupid enough to allow him to go in the vault and see that I didn't have the bullion?
Well, exactly. That's where the whole premise even starts with, as being ridiculous, because if that was a concern, you wouldn't let anybody in the vault, and, you know, even staff wouldn't be aware of it. And normally the bank vaults are, you know, the main vaults like this, you know, they're not public places that anybody off the street can, you know, come into the bank and ask to see his bullion. They're very concerned about security concerns and so on and so forth. And when we've been in the vault, it's just not our bullion that's in there. I know of at least three other major fund companies that have their bullion with Scotia as well.
And you're talking about some sizable, reputable, and well-known financial firms in Canada that store their bullion there. Is
Absolutely.
That correct?
Scotiabank Apricot is the biggest bullion dealer in Canada by a long shot. They do more in bullion than all of the other banks combined. And Scotiabank bought Macata in 1998, and Macata, of course, was one of the founding members of the LBMA and the biggest bullion dealer at the time in the United States.
Apparently, this gentleman was in a room. What kind of room do you think he went in where he only saw, I guess, what was it, $60 or $100 million worth of gold?
Yeah, it's hard to say in terms of in this main branch, there are numerous vaults because there's kind of different banking operations. And there's also a retail precious metals desk that sells small bars and coins. And there's a cage there. So maybe he's referring to what was in the cage in the retail sales desk. This supposedly happened in 2008. So in the summer of 2008, as we all know, there were shortages of some of the smaller bars and coins. So if you wanted to get those, you had to wait. But in terms of the large bars, we were buying large bars throughout that entire period with no delays.
That's what I did for some of the silver I bought. For some that the smaller denominations, I had to wait 4 months for delivery. Nick, if somebody was collecting bullion, because I think keeping it in storage, I mean, you don't want to keep your bullion at home because you invite theft. And so you're safer in a credible bullion storage facility where they have security, they have guards. Members of my staff have actually been to a very large one in the U.S., and my goodness, it was almost like Fort Knox.
That's right. The bullion storage facility, first of all, should be an LBMA certified vault facility, because if you take your bullion outside of sort of the LBMA system, then when you bring it back, most places would require you to reassay it, and you'll incur delays and costs, because once it's out of the system, there's no assurance that someone didn't tamper, you know, with the purity of the bullion. That's one factor. The second factor is that, you know, although some of the gold bugs are concerned about trusting banks, but at least with the major banks, you can look at their financial statements and see who they are. And in some cases with private vault facilities, you really don't know anything about them. And I don't know if you read about the situation they had in England where the police raided 4 private vault facilities that were safety deposit box centers and sealed all of the vaults, opened up all the safety deposit boxes, and then the owners had to come and prove to the police where they got the contents from and so on. And that's caused a huge amount of turmoil. The police raided the facility simply on allegations that there was money laundering and drug dealing and all that kind of going on with that. But, you know, then it created problems. Some people didn't have any proof of ownership, and there was assets missing, and, you know, so, you know, lawsuits are going on. So there's problem at every area once you get into, you know, having to deal with large quantities of bullion.
So, Nick, would you advise investors, let's say that they want to buy bullion, they're not a hedge fund, or they're not Danny Day Trader, they're not trading metals, if they want to own bullion for safety, find a large, reputable bullion vault, hold it an allocated position?
Yeah, the important thing for people to realize, because in some cases they're told things are allocated or it's an allocated pool and so on and so forth, but for you to really own bullion, you need documents that identify the bar in detail, which means the refiner, the serial number, the exact weight to 3 decimal places, and the exact purity to 3 decimal places. If you don't have a title document with that kind of an identification, then you don't own bullion. If you're going to store it in a vault facility on an allocated basis, you need, first of all, a storage agreement that clearly says that this is being stored on an allocated basis, and, you know, the storage facility or the custodian doesn't have any rights to lease it or encumber it or deal with it in any way. And you need to have, again, documentation detailing the bars that are in storage. And that's kind of the main thing we do in our funds is that when we take delivery of the bars, we get details of each bar. And at the end of the year, the auditors cross-check our records for each bar against what exactly is in the vault. And this is why this allegation is ludicrous, because, like I say, just of the 4 major fund companies I know, they all have their own auditors, and all these auditors have to go to the vault once a year so that the companies can do their financial statements. And, you know, part of the financial statements is of course, to verify that the bullion holdings are there according to the company's records.
You're talking about, you know, maybe what this gentleman actually saw was maybe the retail trading desk for, you know, people who want to buy, I don't know, two Krugerrands or two Maple Leafs or 10 Maple Leafs.
That's possible. It's something other than the main vault, because normally, like I say, it's very difficult. First of all, Scotia doesn't provide retail storage. So they only deal with mining companies, central banks, fund companies, institution, and the like. So someone off the street wouldn't normally be allowed in, and even when we go in with our auditors, everyone that goes in, you know, has to be subject to a criminal background check.
Yeah, you don't want Willie Sutton walking in.
That's right. So it's not an easy process to begin with. But in terms of the bullion being there, there is absolutely no question of that whatsoever. And like you said, it would be ludicrous for anyone to show someone an empty vault where the bullion was supposed to be.
It just doesn't stand up. Well, you know, you talk about if you're going to hold bullion, like I keep my bullion in storage. The bullion that I want to own long term is an allocated form. Sometimes I will go in, depending on what's going on in the market, I will buy bullion for trading, which I keep in an unallocated form, which is what I think investment management firms do. I think hedge funds do the same, and even organizations like yourself, where you can have redemptions in your fund, you got to keep a certain portion more liquid, because an allocated form, it gets more cumbersome if you were to have to, let's say, trade it or sell it.
That's right, and that's why we have to keep both an unallocated account, and we generally don't keep more than $1 million in each allocated account, and once we get over that, we take delivery of bars. But that way we can, you know, whether we get $10,000 of investor money or $10 million of investor money, we can deal with it immediately and then allocate bars later.
Well, you know, Nick, I appreciate you coming on the program and clarifying some of this. So your advice, if somebody wants bullion just for trading, don't incur the expense. Deal with somebody reputable. Maybe hold it in unallocated, because you're basically trying to trade the commodity. But if you want to own it longer term, once again, reputable bullion vault, and you would own it in an allocated form. And from what you've seen, you've been to Scotia Macata, you've been to the larger vaults with your auditors, as are some of the largest mutual fund and financial institutions in Canada, you've actually seen the gold. There's gold there.
Absolutely. There's, you know, if anything, Scotia's had to expand their vault, you know, because of the capacity constraints, and are looking at a further expansion. So it's anything but empty.
Okay, well, listen, Nick, if our listeners would like to find out more about the Millennium Bullion Fund and the other funds that you manage, how could they do so, please?
Our website is bmgbullion.com, just as one word.
Well, Nick, I appreciate you coming on the program and clarifying some of the misunderstanding here. I appreciate the efforts, and I want to wish you a great weekend.
Okay, same to you, Jim. My pleasure.